number two, Lee, with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three. No, it's good.
She got it.
Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
It may feel like spring outside, but it is winter in here yet. Welcome to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. I'm Leo Stoddher, the sports director and host here, and I'm joined by my assistant sports director. Some people may call him Maurice because he speaks the pompous of love. He is Joey Dwyer.
What's going on, everybody? That was a good one, Leo. That was a good They also call me the Space Cowboy, just so you know. Just so
wow,
you know.
Wow.
That's what I had queued up for Joe Kennedy, but he needs no introduction. Our producer, Joe Kennedy,
man,
also known as the Space Cowboy.
Yeah, they do call me that every now and then. Once I'm back in Colorado, I'd be flying around and everything. So
they do. They're like, oh, my God, the Space Cowboy's back. What's up?
He's back.
These are our guys. This is our show, The Red Zone. As much as we'd love to riff about Steve Miller lyrics, we're here to talk about some Redbird sports. We've got a great show coming up. We're joined by probably one of the biggest guests we've had all semester, track and field star Kamisha Smith, ahead of her conference meet this weekend. But also starting up this weekend, we had to wait a little bit.
Yep.
We're doing our third ISU football pregame show for the first week of the season. How are we feeling about this matchup against South Dakota?
I'm feeling pretty good. Well, looking back at how we fared against South Dakota in the past, we're 6-1 playing them in the Broxback era, and I'm really not too pressed. I think this is going to be a nice open for the ISU football team that is kind of in search of an identity going into this season without some of their big stars who have either gone to the NFL or tried to move on with their lives per se or transferred away. But it's going to be a good matchup, I think. It's going to just be great to see these guys on the field and to have fans in the stadium. It's going to be, the atmosphere is already going to be electric. And Joe was calling it on Saturday, and I'm so jealous.
And Joey, I know you're also excited for that fresh popcorn to be popped at Hancock Stadium.
Oh,
we've been waiting
for
that because we haven't had fans at Redbird Arena, but we'll be waiting for that fresh popcorn. That's definitely a favorite. But as well as the team, they're a young team this year, but they have a lot to be excited for. It's definitely one of the youngest teams that Coach Speck has had here at Illinois State, and they've had a lot of movements, like even from on the offensive line, people moving around from guard to center and back and forth. But they're young, and they're going to be coming to prepared, and Bryce Jefferson, I think he's going to have a great year. He improved a lot over the offseason, said Coach Speck, and they're poised for a great year here. A lot of freshmen at the running back position, too, so it's going to be hard to replace James Robinson. That's definitely a factor.
And while this is still, it's a good team to start the season against, I think this team would have benefited from having to face Missouri State last week, a team that they really could have beat up on and gotten just one more week of reps, because after this game, their schedule is like meat grinder. They got to face Northern Iowa, South Dakota State, and North Dakota State on the road. The schedule gets really tough. So it would have been better to have to face that stretch after having two games, because this week, it's probably going to be a tune-up. Like, we don't know what to expect from this team. Everybody's going to be kind of nervous. I guess I probably should started with this. So this stuff with Missouri State's field, that was fabricated, right? Like, that field, you could have played a game.
The soccer team cleared it off, like, like 3 days
pictures.
Later?
They posted pictures from Missouri State, and they had cleared the field, like Joe said. And I have no idea what the issue was, because it wasn't a COVID thing.
Yeah. No,
and they said it was a field, but they were practicing on the field that week, so I have no idea. I stand by my statement that Missouri State was just scared of the birds.
And Coach Speck also was saying that the team handled the situation very well when he heard it, but he didn't. He said that the team handled it much more better than he did, and like they kind of led by example, he said in the press conference. But But also South Dakota didn't even play last week too. So both teams are coming into this one having to watch all the games played over the weekend, and they're a little bit anxious, as they, as Coach Speck did also say in the press conference. So both teams really don't know what to expect. They haven't played in over 14 months now.
And speaking of South Dakota, they've got an interesting quarterback situation going on. Leo was telling us about it a little earlier, but we could see potentially four quarterbacks see some playing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really weird one. So they got four quarterbacks expected to play. I just had it off, but this is great radio here. But so they got four quarterbacks that they expect to see play. They got Tyler Sagalis, who was the backup the last two seasons. And then they have Jacob Parks, who's been the number three, he's a junior, has been number three on the depth chart for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then they got the two freshmen, Hayden Eckern, who I had seen play in high school, was a super good athlete, but wasn't, they weren't sure if he was going to play quarterback in college. It was, okay. He played on two-way starter in high school, so they thought might have been he might just play defense instead. And then the local guy, Carson Camp. So when you look at those four, you really could see kind of a setup where all four quarterbacks could see it action, but could play in some different setups and could give the Birds some trouble early on.
And Carson Camp is, like you said about some of the other ones, he's one hell of an athlete, and we got to see him play in high school. I remember back when we had high school football together to cover, we would do a high school football segment on the show, and he was always lighting it up here for Normal West. And so this is a little bit of a homecoming for him.
Right.
And so it would be awesome to see him get some playing time. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most about this game. And hopefully we get to talk to him at some point. I think that'd be awesome to just see how this is going to be for him. Even regardless of how much playing time he gets or how well South Dakota does, I think being able to come home for your first college football game and you're playing it in the stadium blocks away from where you grew up, I think that's got to be such a cool thing for him.
Definitely. And, you know, this is really – I can see how this four-quarterback set could give the Redbirds trouble because, you know, you don't know what to expect from each quarterback. You have limited film on Eckert and Camp. Obviously, you've seen him in high school, but so much has changed then. They're both a year older and stronger. So this is going to be interesting to see how they kind of prepare on defense when you don't really know what you're going to be seeing. I think this is almost kind of a savvy move by South Dakota coach Bob Nielsen, how he's not releasing this starter. Probably won't release it until minutes before game time.
It kind of reminds me of when Brady Davis went down. The Redbirds didn't really know who was going to step up at quarterback, and they were playing multiple people in one game, and that game didn't go so well for the quarterbacks, but they still won that. Leo, we were on the call for that one. Missouri State?
Yes, that was.
Yeah, so that was a crazy... It reminds me of that. But, yeah, like we were saying, this ISU team is very young, and they're hurt by some injuries, too, like Austin Nagel. Andrew Edgar, excuse me. He's been day-to-day, week-to-week for the past couple of weeks now, and that game off last week or the game postponed, that might actually help the Redbirds, and it might help South Dakota, even though it definitely hurt them by not playing. But it gives you a chance for players to get back from injury, and especially Andrew Edgar, the wide receiver core. They're going to need it here. And Taylor Grimes is coming off an injury. So it's going to be interesting to see how those skill players play. And at the running back position, they got two freshmen that are roommates together who haven't really played much either. And that's just going to be a tough situation to replace Robinson for them.
And this is going to be a fun game, I think. You brought up Bob Nielsen, the head coach of South Dakota, graduate from Wartburg College, actually,
which
is a nice little Iowa college.
Is it now?
It's very renowned for their choir program or their choral music program. I got a bunch of buddies who went there. but he's... So Nielsen is five seasons in at South Dakota. He led them to a record 8 wins for the first time. That was in 2017. But the program has taken some steps back. And so coming into this game, the two teams are actually in very similar spots where they're trying to rebuild right now. So South Dakota had a great program 4 years ago and has kind of sunk down. They're trying to rebuild. ISU is coming off of a great year last year where now all of their key players are gone. And while they still kept some talent, they also have to rebuild. And so this is, I think, one of the most important games for the Redbirds because they are going to really gauge where they're at. They're pegged as 7th right now in the FCS. So to see how they actually stack up and if they can repeat last year's success, I think is going to be really important, and it's going to be very contingent on this game before we have that insane road trip where we have North Dakota State and UNI back-to-back.
Yeah, this is a really fitting opening matchup for this team. It'll be really exciting to see where they can go from there. And if you aren't lucky enough to be able to in Hancock Stadium to sit and watch that game, you can catch it here on WZND. Kickoff is at 12 o'clock, but our pregame will start at 11:50. Joe will be there, so you're not going to want to miss that. But looking at another ISU team that came off a 1-1 weekend series against Valparaiso was the volleyball team. This While they did split the weekend series, they were aided by the return of Sydney Holt back to the lineup, so things could finally be trending in the right direction for the volleyball team.
And getting Sydney Holt back is absolutely massive for this team. The back-to-back game schedules are killing them, though,
because
we saw them absolutely dominate Valpo in the first game on Sunday, won 3-1, and even the one that they lost was not... Valpo did not have much of an advantage at all. But then going into Monday night, that game was so long, and the sets were all dragged out, and it was really just a battle of conditioning. And ISU, who had left it all out on the court on Sunday with Sydney Holt as one of their key players who has not seen action in weeks, that really hurt them. And so... And they've had a lot of players out with injuries and other stuff, so they really need to focus on conditioning heading into the tournament, because the whole season has been just a small taste of what the tournament's going to be like, and they need to be able to play at their peak, because their peak is better than anybody in the Missouri Valley Conference. They need to be able to play at that peak throughout the entire tournament to get another NCAA tournament berth.
And right now the record's sitting at 7-5, which really, preseason, nobody would have wanted it to be here, but when you look at all the obstacles they've had to face early in the season with so many key players being hurt, the tough scheduling, and it does say a lot about the resolve of this team that they're still managing to stay above 500, that they're rolling with all the punches, because with the exception of the Drake series, they've split every matchup they've had this season. So it's been a kind of a tough start for the team, but I think they are starting to trend in the right direction, and we are kind of seeing that.
Yeah, and they got things going, too. Like, once they defeated Drake, they swept them, and they beat Valparaiso on Sunday as well. But like we've been saying, their back-to-back games are just crazy. Sarah Kushner was telling us last week when we had her on the show that it's like their weekend is almost flipped over, because now they're playing on Sundays and Mondays compared to before it wasn't like that. And now it just messes up their schedule, not even just for sports, but also school and other things. And so it's definitely affected them, and also just around the Missouri Valley Conference. But it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be looking heading into conference tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty tough road for them, especially because they have a nearly month-long road stretch where they're going to Loyola Chicago, they're going to University of Northern Iowa, and then a random non-conference game against Iowa State, which is absolutely bizarre to sandwich right in the middle of the season.
That must have been like a COVID game or something, right?
Yeah, they threw it in. It's on a Wednesday. All their games are Sundays and Mondays, except for this one game that's on a Wednesday. And they're going from Cedar Falls to Ames, which is not a terrible drive.
No.
But then they come back. They've got Missouri State, Evansville, and then they end the season with Southern Illinois. So at least that back stretch of the season when they're at home, those are some pretty easy opponents, so they can really start getting their feet under them and heading into the conference tournament, because the big thing is going to be that conditioning. Can you perform at peak level back-to-back nights? And this home stretch is really going to be where they can fine-tune those skills and perfect their conditioning and really get in the mode to succeed at the conference tournament, which is also going to be in Normal this year.
And having that tournament at home definitely is going to help them, because after really an accelerated season where they you've been traveling a lot and haven't been able to get comfortable, it's going to be huge to have that tournament at their home arena where they can sleep in their own beds, train at their own facilities, and really get their conditioning back under them. And that pretty much wraps up our Redbird recap. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a sit-down with Redbird track and field star Kamisha Smith. You're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Record holder Kamisha Smith. The track and field team has their conference meet this weekend. So, Kamisha, let's just start it with, how did it feel to finally break that school record in the high jump last weekend?
I was overthrilled. I was ecstatic. And that moment, I have never experienced a better moment than that. That had to be the top one in all of my lifetime.
And now that you broke that record, what's What's another goal that you have that you want to achieve?
I'm just trying to get over that 6 feet little inch. Like, it's just, it's right there. I just need to just creep over it a little bit. And then once I get there, I'll set a new goal for myself. But that was originally the goal, and I still haven't hit it yet. So I'm this close.
And was that, was that the highest that you've ever jumped, or have you gotten higher, like, in non-competition, or was that, like, the pinnacle?
That was the highest, yep.
And how does not having fans affect the high jump, especially because indoor, when there are fans, it makes that really cool atmosphere. Has that been a difference, adjustment for you now?
I didn't like it at first. I feel like fans keep me going and keep me motivated a bit. But I started to be my own fan and kind of root for myself, because in those moments, I felt like, well, there's nobody here to impress. So now I just got to impress myself and shock myself. So I made the best out of it. I hate not having fans, but it is what it is, just to keep everybody safe.
I love that, being your own fan. Have you found other ways to kind of motivate yourself this season?
Yeah, just trying to, you know, get better in the weight room and, you know, stay strong and set new goals and reach them. As I'm reaching them, I'm setting new ones, like, right away. As soon as I hit that goal, I'm like, okay, new goal, new this, new that. So just trying to keep myself motivated in a way, but it's still hard, especially being by yourself a lot of the times.
And as a jumper, what do your workouts look like in particular?
You know what? We used to lift 3 times a week, and now it's 2 times because we're getting closer to conference and those big meets. But we practice every day for about an hour or two. And it's usually, you know, a warm-up, some stretching, high jump drills, long jump drills, just to get my legs going, some sprints. Just, you know, light stuff to keep me moving around. But the naturalness of being a high jumper, it's all here already. It's just the body type is here already.
And you've done some long jump in the past, too. Does that, like, take a different approach doing the vertical jumping as opposed to the horizontal jumping?
Yeah, it does. So long jump, I'm kind of like, you know, keeping my feet right up under me, like quick feet. And high jump is more of a gallop. It's more graceful. And I sometimes, after I long jump, I have a hard time deciphering from the two. So I have to, like, get back tuned in with myself, trying to make myself like, okay, this is the high jump. Like, don't take the long jump approach to the high jump, because if I do, I won't get off the ground or go anywhere. And also the long jump is a lot faster. So when it's a lot faster, sometimes I'll go to the high jump and I'm running at it like it's the long jump, and I can't get off the ground with a lot of speed.
And are you considering, when we get to this outdoor season coming up, are you going to do more long jumping, or are you going to focus more on the high jump?
I'm not sure. I will have to talk to my coach about that one, because I'm a team player for sure. I'm definitely a team player. But I don't know. Maybe. We'll see what we have in the future.
Wherever coach needs you, basically, right?
Basically, yeah. But I am my soul is tied to the high jump.
Mm-hmm. You said
so if they need long jump, I would happily. But if not, I'll stay with the long jump. The high jump, excuse me.
You said you're a team player and everything. So of all your teammates throughout your career, who have you learned from the most?
Ooh, it would have to be Sade Golladay. She has been a great role model. Well, actually, crazy story is she was my my visitor. So when I came to visit, she took me around the school and she showed me everything. I fell in love with her, like, off bat. I'm like, oh my God, this girl's so cool. Like, I like her. And since I've been here, she's been showing me so much better, like so many better ways to do things and to be a better athlete, to be more, you know, just a better version of me. So I would have to definitely give a round of applause to her, because she's the best.
And before you got to ISU, you competed at Thornwood, and that's kind of what people may not realize, how that hotbed of track and field in the Chicago South suburbs, competing against schools like Thornton and Holman Flossmoor, Crute Monee. Did facing that tough competition in high school prepare you more to make the transition to college?
Yeah, you know what? It really did. I went against, I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, good.
Yelena Rowe, that's her name. Yelena Rowe, she won state my senior year, she jumped 6 feet, and it made me like open up my eyes and just like, I have to compete. I'm a very competitive person. So it just made me want to compete harder and go harder at everything that I do, because who doesn't want to win?
And talking about winning, you guys are getting ready to go into the into conference. Are you looking forward to that? You mentioned you're cutting back on training a little bit just to make sure you're physically ready, but mentally, how are you guys preparing to go into conference?
As a team, we're ready. I think we're ready. I think we are more ready than ever. Me personally, I've been trying to dial in. Music gets me through my week to get to the competition. So I'm dialing myself in. I'm staying prayed up, drinking my water, eating my fruit. So hopefully.
What are you bumping to get? If you're walking around with the AirPods in, what are you playing to get in the zone this week?
I listen to my Hot Girl playlist.
See you.
So anything along those lines, Megan, Cardi B, City Girl, I'm bumping it in my ear. You're talking it out loud too.
I find myself bumping that stuff too sometimes. Like, you're hyped up.
Yeah, Joe also has his Hot Girl playlist that he bumps quite a bit. So
maybe. But so the Olympic trials, could you just talk a little about that? Do you know when it's coming up, and are you gonna try to do that?
I'm gonna try, but I don't know. I'm gonna try, yeah. What qualifies to get in is maybe like 6'2", 6'3". We'll see if it's in. If God has it in store for me, He'll make it happen.
And looking at how things kind of went down last season with the outdoor season and the trials getting canceled too, did that give you kind of some more motivation to come out and do this better, knowing that your season could be taken away from you just like that?
Yeah, it did. Actually, you know, when my season been taken away from me last year, when I got ready to compete this year, I was like, let's go. Like, I was ready to go. Like, I've never been more thrilled to be on a track than after COVID. COVID made me realize how grateful I am to have this sport.
And are you thinking about returning for next year?
Yeah, I am, actually. I think I will return. Okay. Just to get that extra season in under my belt. It may help me be better prepared for training for the Olympics and things of that nature. So I will take that extra year.
So logistically, with that COVID year that the NCAA gave all athletes, are you going to be able to compete in indoor and outdoor track season, or just the outdoor track season?
Yeah, so I will be able to compete a full year, because technically this season won't count. So they're not counting it towards my eligibility. It's kind of like getting back in the flow of things, because we've had a year off. So we're getting back in the grooves, and they just blessed me with this season as well. So I will have a full year of indoor and outdoor next year.
And going back to conference, your team's won it the past 3 years indoors. Does that, having been there and done it before, does that give you some more confidence, or does that put extra pressure on the team, knowing that you're expected to win now?
I feel like it's a bit of both, because we go in with confidence, but we also know that it's pressure on our backs, because everybody has a bullet at our head. So everybody's trying to shoot for our spot, and we already know that it's ours. So the confidence is there, but it's still pressure behind it. Just pressure to do great and exceedingly do what we came to do, that's all.
And then beyond conference, looking nationally, you're ranked very highly in high jump across the nation. So do you have any goals as far as any national accolades you're looking for, or just being competitive on the national level?
I just want my All-American title. Last year, I got a second team All-American title. And this year, I want an All-American title. No second team. I want to be on the team.
Is it the first top six for first team?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
So, no, it's actually top eight.
Top eight. Okay. And you're in six right now. So, okay. Yeah.
So, we wish you nothing but the best with that, because, you know, as it stands right now, you're up there, and like you said, it's only getting better throughout this season going into conference. So I personally got no doubt you've got it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. It's been awesome. Like we said, we wish you all the best coming up here in the next couple of weeks, because you guys have been absolutely kicking some butt. So it's exciting to follow.
Thank you. Shout out to my mom.
I see. Now we got to leave that in. thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
And we'd like to again thank Kamisha Smith for coming on to talk to us for the show. It was really cool to hear about her just talking about how she prepares to jump and stuff, because she's really one of the best athletes Illinois State has to offer. And I'm really excited to see what the team can accomplish this weekend at the MVC conference meet.
And maybe also the funniest athlete that we've interviewed.
Yeah, definitely.
We
had some good
ones. If she ever does go for those Olympic trials, she's going to have no problems talking to the press, because she's just very naturally charismatic. That was a very fun interview. And Joe, if you're trying to share that Hot Girl playlist on Spotify,
I don't know if I can share that. That's my special hype list.
play it for us before the show when you're DJing one time.
Sounds
just
good.
Give us a little taste.
A little sneak peek.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have news and sports guest Jake Fogel on to talk about a local basketball team that's making some national notoriety. So stick around. You're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to the Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Leo Stodher, Joey Dwyer, and Joe Kennedy back. We're now joined by our news and sports guest, Joliet Jake Fogel, here to talk about some Illinois men's basketball hoops. Jake, tell us a little about what you're bringing to the table tonight.
Well, first off, I'm not from Joliet. I've been there. I like the bridge just outside of town. I have to go over
Brothers
that.
Reference, brother.
Oh, man. It's been too long since I've seen the Blues Brothers. But
great movie.
Illinois basketball, they're playing right now. I wish I was watching them, but I'm happier to be here with you guys.
Oh, we got to talk
about
it.
Nice.
I haven't checked the score. Do we have any score updates?
It's 18-16. Illinois is beating Nebraska right now. About, I think, 8 minutes through the first.
Mm-hmm. So Joe touched on it. He's scared. Why don't we start there? How are we feeling after that Michigan State game? Because I think it's fair we could say that was probably their worst game of the season.
Yeah. I would say so. And they just didn't get off the gates. Like, they just couldn't get things going. And it was a physical game, definitely the most physical game I've seen all this year. Io broke his nose, and he's not playing tonight. And that's what scares me, because, I mean, it is Nebraska, but the last time they played Nebraska, Io didn't do well until the end of the game, and that's when he kind of took the Illini up to victory. But, Jake, what are you thinking about Io being out here and how that's going to affect the Illini tonight and even moving forward, maybe?
Well, let's not forget, it was potentially 8-on-5 when Illinois took on Michigan State. So those referees, man, just a lot of bogus calls from my end, but, you know, we can't hit free throws either, so that ended up costing us. Io, I'd say by far my favorite Illini to watch since being a fan since I was little, just because of the success he's brought. But being out, yeah, that's going to be tough with the schedule they have. Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio State.
All on the road, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, on the road in the Big Ten is scary enough, but without Io, we're going to need some luck to just get maybe one. But, you know, I'm never going to go against my Illinois Fighting Illini, so.
Yeah.
And Leo and I were talking about it before the show. So Io is out right now with a broken nose, and Leo and I are both big hockey guys. We're rocking hockey jerseys right now, and we're saying, why doesn't he just put on a mask and get back out there?
Broken nose is tough to play.
As somebody who has broken their nose, it sucks, but I mean, you can still see, you can still dribble a basketball. I just think, like Jake said, they've got such a tough stretch coming up, and without him, I think it's going to be scary, and especially in a Big Ten that is so good. People are talking about how the Big Ten might get over 10 berths in the NCAA conference, and so for the Illini to drop some of these games could really put them at a disadvantage come tournament time if they can't put all the pieces together before the Big Ten tournament.
Joey.
Yeah.
Joey.
I don't know.
Joey Mack. I agree. When players put on the mask, I'm thinking like Rip Hamilton, LeBron James, you know, Derrick Rose, prime Derrick Rose.
That's scary.
But you know what? Illinois is not playing to get first, I'd say, in the regular season. They're winning the Natty title, man.
They got big aspirations.
Wow. You're looking further, and with a healthy Io, anything's possible, obviously. But I wouldn't count them out against these tough teams. Wisconsin hasn't been playing too good lately.
And a masked Io. Like, it's different just playing Io, just, you know, normal Io. But when you put a mask on a player, there's just something about it. You've seen a LeBron, and then Rip Hamilton did it his whole career. But I don't know why. It's just something about wearing that mask. But with Io being out, there's some games, though, that I just see that Io doesn't really have a great game until the final 8 minutes of the game, maybe. And then, so that's why I'm kind of looking at this, seeing that the Illini can possibly even win one or two of these next coming games, and even tonight, as well as they're playing right now. But it's time for people to step up for the Illini. It's time for Andre Curbelo to step up even more. He's had a great freshman year, and I know he gets a lot of criticism for all the turnovers he's been having, but he's just a freshman from Puerto Rico, man. Like, this guy's got swag, and he's got drip, and that's something the Illini are missing, too, and he brings that edge that other players don't.
And so you talked about it a little bit, that they got to prepare without AO down the stretch, and, you know, that could be something that, you know, they're going to have to try next year, because it's likely the Sumu and even Kofi Coburn might be going to the draft.
Calm down.
I'm not saying the team's window might be closing.
Don't say that.
They might have to prepare for life after these players, and this could be a good developing experience for this team to be playing some high-leverage games without one of their star players.
Let Joe and I enjoy this.
Yeah, Jake, I was just about to say, we're not talking about next year. As an Illinois fan, football gone through the window since 2008 about. Basketball, it's been very up and down since about, like, what, 2012, 2013? It's been 7 years of just brutalness of every sport for the Illini, and it's finally came the time where there's something to cheer about. There's actually something to look forward to every night, and not just watching games knowing you're going to get blown out by other teams in the Big Ten. And that's just what's made me so happy. And I know this team's going to make the tournament. So even in these next couple of games, without Io or with him if he comes back, I'm just excited for the tournament, because anything can happen. Anything can happen. And Baylor and Gonzaga, they're good, but when it comes March, all bets are off here in the NCAA tournament.
Well, they were going to make it last year, too, but, you know, COVID.
Yeah. Maybe would have been gone, too, though. So you never know. He wanted that one last dance opportunity, kind of like Jordan did, you know?
when you guys look at the Big Ten, because it's undeniable that the Big Ten is absolutely stacked this year, how do you see the Illini matching up with some of these other Big Ten powerhouses who are also having stellar seasons?
I think the hardest matchup is going to be Michigan. They've obviously been the best team. And I just don't like Michigan because they rescheduled their game. So their whole program was out for, what, like 2 weeks, because they found a new strain of COVID. So every single sport was gone. And so they come back, and the women's team plays on the Thursday night, but the men's team doesn't play Illinois on that Thursday night, too. So they had the same time to prepare. But they're just so good, and in the post they got Hunter Dickinson, and they got Livers from outside. They're just spread out all around. They have depth everywhere. So I think that's who's going to be the hardest for the Illini. What about you, Jake? Do you think same or another team that maybe could give problems?
I think Illinois will have a little bit better luck than they did, obviously, against Michigan State, against Michigan. But I think they tend to do a little bit better against bigger teams.
Yeah,
and that's just what it's looked like. They handled Minnesota pretty easily all year. Minnesota's not at the level of course, Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin, of course. But facing Iowa, which, oh, I love that victory. I can't stand Iowa. Sorry, Joey. But
it's all right.
I cannot stand Iowa. I don't like Ohio State either, but those are my big beefs. The younger guys had to be better. Mm-hmm. Of course, and I think that's usually where we've struggled, and our depth at big man isn't that great, because you mentioned it, Kofi's not ready to be drafted. Let's get that out of the way. He can't pass out of the post, and he can't shoot. He needs to work on that if he wants to go potential first round. So
I agree. And another freshman this year, Adam Miller, I knew he had a lot of promise coming into this year, a lot of praise that he was going to have a really great year, and he's been doing all right. He's got about 8 points per game, but there hasn't really been that game where he's just gone off and gone to the next level. So that's going to be interesting to see if he could possibly do that even tonight or in the next couple of games. And the key player here, this guy reminds me of Dusan Mihorčić here for the Redbirds, is Georgi Bishanasvili. They bring that energy off the bench, and they just get – that's someone who just gets in your face, and he's hilarious. The whole team loves him, and you need that coming once it comes March, because you need players like that that are just able to keep the pressure off the team a little bit, but also make sure that they can get some quality minutes coming right off the bench.
And everybody is so excited for March Madness this year after getting cheated out of last year. Speaking of which, we got to get a March Madness pool going in the office.
Oh, of course.
Bracket challenge. But looking ahead to March Madness, I always look at the Big Ten as the conference that always performs super well in conference play in the regular season, but then come tournament time, there's always some disappointment, whether it be the Elite Eight or the Final Four. There's always some huge disappointment after they come in with super high hopes. And so the two front runners in the Big Ten right now are the Illini and Michigan. Are there differences you see in these teams compared to those last year where they can go all the way? Like Jake, you said it, they have national championship aspirations. Can they hold that steam all the way down that stretch?
I think they can definitely hold the steam. In all honesty, I would say they're more likely a Final Four team. It's hard to go that entire mile. Michigan is just so talented. I don't know if you guys caught it, Michigan, Ohio State. I think they played on Sunday.
Game. Yeah, that was a good game.
They couldn't miss. Neither team could. It's just the depth of both teams. They're both great shooting teams, and it just seems like they can't really do much wrong. And Illinois, I mean, they've made so many steps, but they're still kind of young.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like Joe was saying, Adam Miller, he's played really well defensively, but he hasn't taken that step offensively. And he's leading the game tonight. Illinois is up 28-21 now.
Okay.
He has 12 points. So
That's
pretty shocking in my opinion. Trent Frazier was zero. I love Trent also. Trent's just that guy you can go to when nothing's really working. So.
And he's a senior, and he could possibly even be back next year for another fifth year because of the COVID rules. But as you're saying, why I think this team is going to do well is that – they can do. They're good defensively, and then also they are. They can play defense, like I was just saying, and then they're also good at three-point shooting as well as rebounding. They're one of the best rebounding teams here in the Big Ten, and they're able to just spread out the ball pretty well here. And it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to do in these next couple of games.
I like their chances. I don't think they're going to get a one seed because of the tough schedule then, and then they don't have Io, which breaks my heart. But you're going to be able to see some guys step up, I think, in these next couple games, which will help them come tournament time. I'm much more of a bigger fan of the Big Ten tournament coming up now that Illinois is playing good. So I think that's going to be really exciting to see. Might make a trip. You never know. I haven't seen
the
ticket
prices. Are they having fans for the Big Ten tournament?
I believe they are. I haven't been able to find ticket prices, though.
Okay.
Just looking at the Big Ten tournament, what's one thing that you think Illinois could improve most moving into that tournament?
The play of that's a great question. It's always turnovers definitely by Curbelo need to go down. Curbelo's just been making some bad decisions, but when he makes a good decision, everybody's oohing and awing.
Yeah,
because his passing ability is really good, but he needs to start making better decisions to keep getting that playing time because it's gone down a little bit. He's been in the doghouse, I would say, but I'd like guys to be more. More efficient with the ball. Io usually plays off in that corner more often than not, like Joe was saying, until the 8-minute mark of the second half. DeMonte Williams was shooting so hot to start the season, and it seems like it's went away. So just more guys to be assertive, I would say, to make it trouble on the five guys on the court and maybe not just three.
So when you're looking at Illinois and all the things they have to improve on, I know you said realistically Final Four, but if you had to give me your prediction right now for how Illinois is going to do come Big Ten tournament and conference tournament, where are they going? Let me know. You are our Illinois basketball guru right now. What you say goes.
I want to throw something out there real
please
quick.
Please do. I got to think.
Every 15 years, so 1989, they make the Final Four. 2005, they make the national championship and lose. And now 15 years later, what's going to happen? They make the national championship and they win.
Joe.
So that's just something it's a cycle, I guess. It's something that's just – it's bound to happen. But realistically, I think they're easily a Final Four, Elite Eight team. But it's March Madness. You never know. What about you, Jake?
Well, Joe, it's hard to follow up that statistical analysis there.
I saw that a couple weeks ago.
I love that analysis, that data you brought to the table here. And I want to agree, but it's just their placement in the big tournament's going to fall with IO out because they're not going to be able to definitely sweep these last couple games, but maybe even split. That's just hard to say without them. So maybe a 4 seed in the Big Ten. You get them back, you never know what can happen. If we get matched up with Iowa, I'd take just an Iowa win, maybe a kick at that point, because I'll beat Iowa.
Hey, watch out for Luca Garza, yeah, though, man.
But he doesn't compare to Io.
That's play. Oh!
Get him out of here.
Are you serious?
Not right now.
Get him out of here.
Hey, our 3-up, 3-down we did a couple weeks ago, Leo and I picked Illinois to beat those Hawkeyes, and they did.
Okay. The Illini are an objectively better team overall, right?
Absolutely.
But Luca Garza is without a doubt the best player in the nation. Without a doubt.
We'll see what you're saying.
It's hard to debate. They're definitely both top three.
Oh, my goodness.
Top two, probably. It's literally those two.
It's not a hard debate for me. I wish you would have brought this up earlier, not right before the end of the segment, because I could go for days. But we don't have the time.
I'm here all night.
We're going to put Joey in a room by himself where he can't break anything and just let him work this one out. So we're going to take a break to do that.
Sheesh.
When we come back, maybe Jake might have swayed some of us to pick the fight in Illini in the 3-up, 3-down. You're not going to want to miss that segment. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Going up, coming down.
It's the 3-up, 3-down.
3-up, 3-down.
Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
It's time for the 3-Up, 3-Down, our weekly pick'em segment involving college basketball games. Joey, I ask you every week, enlighten our listeners on the rules to this great game.
So here's what we got for the rules, Leo.
Ooh.
We've got three games that we pick where we pick the favorited team. So a team that has an over 50% chance to win, according to ESPN's predictive.
So 3-Up.
3-Up, we get one game that's 80%. Then our 3-Down, that's three teams that are underdogs, according to ESPN's predictor. So you get three games under 50%. Doesn't matter what the percentage is. One game you pick, it could be your over 80 and up and down. Has to be in the Missouri Valley Conference because we like to keep it local here.
Oh yeah.
We keep it where the folks care about, you know what I'm saying?
And this week was kind of tough. There's only four Valley series going on this week, and a lot of them were kind of lopsided, either like 80% or higher. I know the Loyola game and another one was also. So it's a toss-up. And then also the ISU game coming up, who knows, too. That game was almost 50-50.
That's a close one. But for the standings so far, let me give you guys a little sum. We've got Steve Cease, our faculty advisor. He wanted a pity game. So to give you a little update, he picked a game where the opponent for the team that he picked switched. Right, so he switched. He had UMass playing St. Joe's, but it switched to UMass playing Richmond. Same game, same night, except the opponent switched. And he's like, let me change my pick. But that's not how it works, Steve. Age of COVID. So we took that game off. He went 5-0. He would have gone 6-0. He went 5-0. He's currently leading. A half game behind him is our very own Joe Kennedy.
There we go.
Absolutely killing it right now. Went 5-1. I also went 5-1. I'm a full game back from Steve Cease. And then we got Leo in fourth place. A respectable fourth place. He's got like a 650 winning percentage right now.
Yeah, but in my defense, I had a COVID game week one and my celebrity pick last week by Ben Rosen.
I
don't know about you, but to me that sounds like a whole lot of excuses.
Yeah.
And then
no solutions, just excuses.
And then our boy Jake Fogle over in the newsroom, he got put in the doghouse. I will give a shout out to last week's guest, Tammy Kelly, who picked an absolutely insane game. She picked an 8% chance and they pulled it out.
Yeah, Eastern Illinois over Murray State. Like, I did not see that one coming, but it worked. So she knows something we don't about the Panthers over in Charleston.
But Jake,
she's got the scoops.
Jake, I need to know, are you ready to pull some weight? Because the guests before you have not been as kind.
I see my job, I have my task, and I feel it's my responsibility to bring him back.
Leo is in shooting distance.
You got to
so
do it.
A good 6-0 here. You could pull the gas.
Put some pressure
Please
on
don't
Captain
do
Leo.
I'm going to try to distance him. So for my first game, I'm going to start with an underdog in the Pac-12. We got USC facing Colorado. Colorado is a 63.2% favorite, but I'm going to go with the Trojans of USC to get the upset.
You got to love USC. That's a good pick, Leo. My first one, I picked against this team in week 2. Did not go well for me, so I'm picking them this week. I got Weber State. They're going up against Sacramento State. They got a 76.6% chance to win. That game is tonight, and Weber State, one of the best teams in their conference. I'm saying they take this one easy.
All right. For my first underdog, I'm going to go with the Redbirds here this weekend. I think I'm going to be taking the Friday night game. They are the underdogs, coming in with Northern Iowa at 54.8% chance to win. But roll Birds, baby. We got to get this dub. Right. Get things going, you know? And then Fogle?
I take it. It's my turn. Well, yep. I'm going to, for an underdog, of course, I'm going to stick to the Big Ten because I thought this was too easy. Ohio State over Iowa on Sunday. They were a 46% chance. I thought that was too easy, you know, because Iowa's, Iowa sucks. But Ohio State, they're great.
Fogle, I'm gonna come down to that newsroom. I'm coming down to that newsroom right now.
I'm ready.
And Steve actually picked that same game as you, Fogle. Same result, Ohio State over Iowa. So you got two guys to take on there, Joey. And for my next game, I'm going to go with my first up. I got a ACC matchup. I'm taking the Notre Dame Fighting Irish over the Boston College Eagles. Notre Dame comes in as a 61.8% favorite, and I think they could get it done this week.
For my second favorite, I'm going to go with my first Missouri Valley Conference game because I got two.
I got two
this week. I'm an overachiever. Just ask any of my teachers in high school.
Okay. I don't know about that one. I mean, I've already talked to a couple.
But for my up, I'm picking Drake. They're at Bradley. A 72% chance to win, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Because if ISU sweeps your series, you're bad. And that's where Bradley is right now. That game's on Friday. That's an easy dub for Drake, who was ranked at one point. That should be a palate cleanser for them.
It should be, but you also never know, Joey. It is the Valley, and the Valley runs deep, as we all say. But I'm going to go with my first up here, Alabama. I'm going to take them defeating Mississippi State. They're coming into this game with 64.9% favorites. So Roll Tide from Roll Birds. Let's go.
I am also going to make my MVC pick in the up. It was too easy. Loyola Chicago, 97% chance to beat Southern Illinois tomorrow. I think they're without DeMarcus Dumas. Southern Illinois is just in a bad place. And, you know, Loyola Chicago, they're just too good.
And for Steve's next game, he's also joining Cammy Kelly and picking against Murray State. He's got Jacksonville State as the underdog. Murray State's a 64.9% favorite, but he's going against them after that loss to the Panthers. I'm going to go back to the Pac-12 for my next game. We got Oregon playing Stanford. Stanford's a 50.5% favorite, so I'm going to go with the Ducks there because they're barely even an underdog.
Yeah, I saw that game. I was looking at it for about 2 minutes. I was like, I don't know if I could pick that one. So that'll be a close game. Yeah, good call. Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know, though. You are kind of in fourth place, so.
Hey,
those are the type of games that you lose. All
right. For my over 80, I'm going with the Joe Kennedy strat. You can't pick against the Zags in conference play. Gonzaga is going up against Loyola Marymount.
Oh, yeah.
97.8%. That game's on Saturday. Easiest pick I made in my entire life.
And for my over 80, I'm going to be taking Loyola Marymount, losing to Gonzaga, too.
Let's go, Joe, once again.
For about the fourth week in a row, I believe now. And you don't really have to talk much about Gonzaga, especially when they're playing in the West Coast Conference. I still don't get why they're in that conference. We talk about this every week, but go Zags.
Well, we're going to stay on the topic of undefeated teams, even though they weren't above 80%, which I'm personally shocked at. Taking Baylor as an up at West Virginia on Tuesday, 70%. I think they're finishing undefeated. I don't think there's going to be anything about it.
Here's what I'm going to say.
What's up?
Steve picked Baylor to beat Iowa State last week, and although they did, Iowa State, who is not good by any stretch of the imagination.
I watched this game.
That was a close game. If Iowa State wasn't bad and hadn't choked that, Baylor would have been handed their first loss by a team that's in the basement of the Big 12. So they're scary. Like, they're ranked number two right now, but I wouldn't be upset if they got bounced in the round of 32 come natty time. So,
Joey, I don't know about that.
Joey, just like Rab Road here in town, there's potholes everywhere. There's bumps on the road. There's bumps on the road, but they finished. They got to their destination. They won the game.
Shout out Jake for keeping it local with Rab Road.
You also, Baylor, you're going against Press Virginia. Bob Huggins, that team plays defense.
He
Press
can take
Virginia.
A stool and go home.
It's unbelievable. Ooh. Ooh, okay,
all
okay.
Right,
yeah,
give us Steve next. Leo, give us Steve.
Steve's next game, he really likes Ohio State this week because he's picking them as a 75.4% favorite over Michigan State. Which, moving into my next game, I got a very good matchup here. We got Wagner at Central Connecticut. Wagner's a 76.6% favorite. You can never bet against Wagner with those kind of odds.
All right, Leo, I'm going to try to one-up you in the obscure colleges with my first underdog. I got University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
Ooh.
Against Utah Valley on Friday, 47% favorite. Give me UT Rio Grande.
What is happening?
The Rio Grande?
The Grande, yes.
The Grande.
It's the medium-sized drink from Starbucks.
We were talking about that.
We're going with UT Rio Grande Valley.
So we're going through with these mid-majors. I didn't pick any of those this week because they broke my heart last week when VMI lost to the Citadel by 1 point.
That was
so
a tough game.
Those I went 5-1 last week, so that got me a little sad. So I'm going to be taking North Carolina over Syracuse. Syracuse is a 55% favorite, and North Carolina still needs to make a couple wins. They're probably going to make the tournament, but everything will help. And Syracuse is also right on that bubble as well.
I'm going to pull a page out of Leo's book. Just under that 50% mark, I'm taking Wisconsin versus Purdue on Tuesday. I'm a Tuesday guy. It seems I've said Tuesday a couple times. But, yeah, not a big Purdue guy. The Boilermakers, I don't think they got it. Wisconsin's got to turn it on at some point.
Steve's next game, he's going to pick in the Tulane-Cincinnati matchup. He's taking Cincinnati as a 72.3% favorite. And for my next game, we're going back to the obscure colleges. We got a Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference matchup. I don't know what you guys are doing tomorrow at 11 a.m., but you guys should be watching Canisius versus Niagara.
Wow.
Niagara is a 52.7% favorite, which I am taking the underdog. Let's go with the Canisius Golden Griffins here. I think that is a huge underdog.
The over-under for points scored in that game is set at 75.5 for both teams. My next game, Joe, I liked the Tar Heels. I liked that pick. I'm going with a different game, though. They've got Florida State coming into Chapel Hill.
Wow.
And Florida State, it's the Carter Getty effect.
Florida State
plays down to whoever they're playing, and I don't trust them against the Tar Heels with that rich basketball history. Tar Heels got a 48.9% chance of winning, so let's go.
I like it. You know, it's a risky pick right there, but you're gonna have to pick some of those sometimes, you know?
Exactly. I want the leg up, baby.
And I'm about the leg up here, especially after a segment we just have, so hopefully as long as Io's back, but no, either way, I'm taking the Illini over Michigan here.
Ooh, wow.
Illini are at 40% probability to win that game, but I just love my Illini, man, so I'm just going to keep going with them, and I think they're going to bounce back here and get some big W's.
I love these vibes from Joe. It is
gotta be happy.
I feel it from the newsroom.
I wish you guys could see Joe right now. He's an all orange.
I got my 2005 Illinois basketball Final Four shirt under my sweatshirt right now,
and then he's rocking the Joe Ingles limited edition Utah Jazz jersey. It is an orange fest in here from Joe Kennedy.
I'm not as rocking as much orange. I got a Miami Dolphins shirt on, so go
okay,
Dolphins.
There's orange in there.
Just a little bit, just a tad, but I got an obscure pick, too. Not as obscure as whoever you guys said. Rio Grande, Ariana Grande.
Grande.
I don't know. I don't know who you guys are talking about. But I'm going former Illini coach John Gross at Akron.
Okay.
Taking out Buffalo. What day was this game? I don't even remember. I think it was tomorrow. Might be on Tuesday because I'm a Tuesday guy, but 33.7% chance for Akron, the Zips, to take him out. John Gross, I'm sticking with him. The bald head, you got to stick with it.
Please don't say that name ever again. Those are some of the darkest days.
John Gross is here, Joe, and you have to acknowledge it.
I know, but I just haven't heard that in so long.
back to the picks here. Steve does not like the Fighting Illini, unlike Joe and Jake. He's picking the Wisconsin Badgers over Illinois. Illinois is a 55.9% favorite there. Mm-hmm. And for my final game, for my Valley game, I'm going with the aforementioned Loyola over Southern Illinois. Loyola is a 97.9% favorite. That's an easy pick right there.
All right, I teased it earlier. I got two Valley games. Here's my second one, right? So I got Drake beating Bradley.
Sure.
But you know I roll with my birds,
oh,
baby.
Let's go,
chirp, baby. Chirp, baby. We got ISU coming home. Our boys are coming home.
Jeez, and he's going to cry.
They're going to kick the University of Northern Iowa Panthers out of town. I don't want to see you and I in here again. Right. And I know I'm an Iowa boy, right? But not Northern Iowa. I'm from dead central as far as north and south goes. I'm from Eastern Iowa. But that doesn't matter, all right? Because ISU has 45.3% chance to win this game, and they're going to roll birds, baby.
Friday night or Saturday night?
Oh, Friday night.
Okay,
Friday night.
Same.
I'm with you.
Right,
I'm
we
picked
the same game.
I'm
right,
with
right.
you. Saturday, that might be a little risky.
Yeah, I know. Second game. But I'm going to be taking for my last pick, I'm going to be taking Tennessee over Auburn, as Tennessee is a favorite here, so this is my last favorite at 74%, and they just came off a tough loss, 25th in the nation still, but bounce back winning against Auburn.
And for my last pick on the up, you got to go with Minnesota, 64% at Nebraska, because the Cornhuskers can't get anything done right. So, Minnesota.
And for Steve's last game, he's going with Loyola over Southern Illinois, 97.9% favorites, as we all have before. And that's going to conclude our show tonight. We'd like to thank Kamisha Smith from the track and field team for coming on to the show as our interview guest. They have a big meet this weekend, conference championships at Northern Iowa. We wish her the best of luck there. Mm-hmm. We'd like to thank Jake Fogel for coming on, talking some Illini hoops, sticking around for the 3 up, 3 down. It's always a pleasure
and
when he's
Jake,
on the show.
And Jake, do not go anywhere, because we're going to have some words about University of Iowa basketball after this.
I only got a paper to write, but you know I'll put that on.
We'll do a 2v2 in the office.
That's great. And if you missed any part of tonight's show, you can check it out on WZND.com. We'll have it on podcast form. We thank you for listening. For Joe Kennedy, for Joey Dwyer, Jake Fogel, Kamisha Smith, I'm Leo Stauder. We hope you have a great weekend, and go Redbirds.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 1033 WZND.
The Pulse of Redbird Nation.